12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
On Monday, a special session of the Oregon State Legislature has been called to look at the aspect of redistricting. State Representative David Brock Smith on with us right now. So, David, how long is this session expected to last?
Well, the deadline that the court set for having the redistricting information passed is Sunday at midnight.
So this is a pretty tight timeline.
It is indeed.
And for the redistricting process, where do things stand right now?
Well, you have maps that have been presented prior to the 12 public hearings that were held around the state. And they're available on OLIS. And you can go to my Facebook page and scroll back and see the content of the links to contact information. We're at a situation where the congressional district map plan A, the Democrats' plan, is about as gerrymandered as you can get, Kyle. You have, we were, of course, grew in population and was able to garner a sixth congressional district. And they have the four corners of four of the six going into Portland so that they can grab those liberal voters in there. I've never seen a more gerrymandered district plan in my life. And they cut Douglas County in half with regards to Congressional District 4 currently held by Congressman DeFazio.
And so when it's cut in half, how does that impact district is the other half of the county end up in?
District 2, which is currently represented by former State Senator Cliff Bentz.
Wow.
That was held for a long time by Congressman Greg Walden.
So when I took a look at the proposals initially, has anything changed since then? I mean, I'm hearing that that was a couple of weeks ago that I saw maps. I'm imagining that things have evolved a bit, or have they?
Well, I mean, I was hoping for more involvement, if you will, because of the public input. You know, the House Republicans and Senate Republicans have been trying to push forward an independent redistricting commission so that we could have the citizens draw these lines, because the legislators should not be picking their voters. The citizens pick the legislators, and the citizens should be drawing the maps. You have Cedric Hayden currently taking carved into Eugene. I mean, it doesn't get more. I mean, Cedric's district, it's not like-minded communities when he's sitting in his home and part of Eugene. And so the gerrymandering is just alive and well in the Democrats' plans on Plan A and Plan C.
What do you think of the way the Republican plan is laid out?
Better. You have a situation where, I mean, even the members of the redistricting committee, we have equal members on the House side, 3-3. Representative Bonham went in, you know, wanting to draw fair maps for all, and he basically had to draw part of his map into another legislative seat up into Hood River. And so they're much more fair and not gerrymandered as the Democrat maps are. It's just ridiculous that this is the process that they've gone through. And the fact that we really haven't, of course, the meetings, the redistricting meetings and public input ended late Monday evening. and we're going into session on Monday, this coming Monday. And so I look forward to a robust conversation and some movement on these maps based on the input from our constituents all across the state. And, you know, the glaring media that has called out the gerrymandering process of the Democrats from OPB, Oregon Live, Willamette Week, Statesman's Journal. I mean, it couldn't be more plain that these individuals on the Democrat side have gerrymandered these districts so that they can retain control in a supermajority over the next decade, because that's what these maps do. And we're in a situation, Kyle, where the stakes couldn't be higher, because although the Democrats like to think that Portland runs the state, but if you look at the last election for governor, for example, you know, Kate Brown barely won by over 50% of the vote. In the last presidential election, I think it was Biden only won by 56% of the vote in Oregon. So here you have a supermajority in the legislature, because even though 44% of the state is red and not blue.
I'm curious, looking at this, and every 10 years this comes along, and we always tend to hear some of the same comments you've talked about. One side says the other's gerrymandering and vice versa, et cetera. But back up a step, do the congressional districts get determined first, and then it's the legislative seats in Oregon later, or vice versa? Or are they separate from each other in the process?
They're separate from each other in the process. I believe that they're going to take up the congressional maps first, and then take up the legislative maps second in the process. But we don't have an agenda yet on what's going to happen next week.
So have you seen anything in terms of how your House District 1 could get shifted?
Yeah, there's a number of maps have me taking Roseburg. They have me taking Winston, which, you know, I am, of course, very familiar with the area. It is a two-hour drive from my home in Port Orford. I love my folks over in the Umpqua Valley, but it's you're in a situation where, you know, District 2 is much better fit coming out of that area to represent those individuals. And so it's a problem, I think, that can be easily remedied. You have District 9, Boomer, of course, that takes Douglas County there at Winchester Bay. But one of the problems there is they've gerrymandered his district. They've cut it from the north and pushed it closer over to Eugene and up near Benton County, so that they can garner more liberal voters in that district, because they're upset that that long Democrat stronghold there has switched red. And so, I mean, it couldn't be more obvious. With these maps, what we needed to do, and what the Republicans tried to do, was push an independent commission that would draw these maps so that the Democrats can't do incumbency protection as they've done. No Democrat has been carved out of their seat in any one of their maps, but many Republicans have. And so it couldn't be more glaring, which at the end of the day, depending on what happens in session, of course, again, as I said, the Republicans pushed hard in the legislative session to have equal representation on the redistricting committee, which we did. So we do have the ability to stop the bill in committee, because without the votes to move it to the floor. Now, the speaker could break her word, if you will, and go ahead and pull it to the floor and skip the committee. But then that leaves us the ability to have an opportunity to gather the record and send it to the courts and have The judges look at this with the evidence that we're able to compile to prove that gerrymandering has occurred, to prove incumbency protection has occurred, to prove like-minded communities have occurred, because they want to bring in minority populations and so forth, that and equity, if you will, because that was the term of the session. But that isn't in the Constitution. That isn't in the laws associated with redistricting. And so you don't get to write the new laws as you go just to suit your narrative when it comes to gerrymandering these districts.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with State Representative David Brock Smith when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson at 1. Shannon Sebastian with Your Q, part of KQEN Local Talk. That's coming at 4. On tomorrow's program, you'll get to meet Erica Mills, the new CEO of NeighborWorks Umpqua, along with outgoing interim CEO Betty Tam. We'll talk about the mission of NeighborWorks Umpqua on tomorrow's program. State Representative David Brock Smith with us. We're talking about redistricting, special session of the legislature beginning on Monday. And Representative, you mentioned how your district would be adjusted, one of these proposals. What about District 2 here in Roseburg? How would that get changed under what some of the ideas you've seen so far?
It would be changed dramatically. It currently goes south quite a ways, and it doesn't. See, my district takes in half of Josephine County, pretty much west of I-5, south of Winston, which it is shrunk, and it only comes back to the Curry County line. And District 2 doesn't go south very much anymore, but actually goes east and west up and takes in the Douglas County line towards Reedsport and Winchester Bay, and then follows the Lane County line, which is completely different because that's, of course, Cedric Hayden. And District 7 currently has those boundaries and a lot of that. So they change dramatically, and it's just concerning.
How does this stay fair and not be biased when each party obviously wants to gain all the ground they can?
Independent commission is how it does, Kyle. I mean, if you had individuals that draw the independent commission, that are part of the commission, and they draw the lines, they would draw the lines in a fair manner that then would come to the legislature. And there's currently a ballot initiative to that effect for the redistricting lines to be put on the ballot. And I encourage everyone to support it so that we can get through this battle. And then in the future, we have that independent commission that doesn't allow the legislators to pick their voters, but allows... Go ahead.
Well, I imagine that with everything involved here, that on the congressional seat level, the amount of pressure and input that you folks are getting is probably even stronger than for the state seats.
Well, not to us. I mean, you had the congressional members of the congressional delegation push back against Tina publicly whenever she had made the decision after we pushed back in the House Republicans pushed back to allow for an equal representation on the redistricting committee. I think you had Peter DeFazio mention something about it's like shooting yourself in the head, I think was his quote in the paper, and Kurt Schrader was not anywhere as kind either. But the congressional lines are a different animal altogether. And I think you have, it's my opinion, that you have a bunch of pressure from the D.C. Machine, Democrat machine over there, that is pushing that agenda. And I see Congressional Plan A is going to be unchanged, and they're going to fight it out in the courts once it moves through without a Republican vote.
And as well, one of the things about this is the time crunch was exacerbated by the COVID situation delaying the census.
Correct. And so that's why we're on the Oregon Supreme Court laid out the timeline, and we received the information in mid-August, the census data. The committees immediately got to work, and then they did the whirlwind 12 public hearings over the course of 7 days for those that public input that, frankly, the Democrats have ignored to date. And so I'm anxious to get into the building and push that public input to see if we can't have any needed changes in these maps. And if not, we're going to lay it on the record, build the case for the gerrymandering that has occurred, and then we're going to take it to court and battle it out there.
And if it goes to court, how do you assure that the court decision and whatever may happen as a result of that, perhaps even going higher, will get done in the time it needs to just to facilitate 2022 elections?
Well, we'll have to facilitate the 2022 elections regardless of the court outcome, because the court outcome is going to be a long, drawn-out battle. But in the end, it's 10 years we're talking about here. And so regardless of what the maps that come out of the process, even if they're appealed to the courts, my understanding is there are going to be the maps that we deal with until there's a court decision that occurs. And so and that again will take well over a year and a half, probably maybe even two, to deal with. But before we go, Kyle, I just want to give a shout out, you know, and have a conversation about, you know, our school districts and the governor's mandates and so forth. I know that, especially in our communities, and many have seen my press release towards the governor's mandates, and we've talked about this the last time I was on your show, that I just want to tell the parents out there that I've had conversations with your school superintendents and school board members, and they are doing everything they can to make sure not only that your kids are safe, but that they are allowing for medical freedom and freedom of choice for your teachers and staff and your districts and your communities. And so I will continue to have conversations with them, and will continue to push back against these tyrannical mandates coming out of the governor's office that are impacting our healthcare workers, our law enforcement personnel, and our educators and their staff in our districts.
Do you have some concern about ultimately losing some teachers and healthcare workers due to the mandatory vaccination situations?
I have great concern. I mean, great concern that we will be losing these professionals in their fields because of the governor's mandates. I also feel that the governor doesn't care. I feel that the governor is playing at a partisan level like nothing I've ever seen, where these individuals that have these beliefs are conservatives and they vote red, and she would just assume purge them from the state because they aren't paying their union dues probably anyway, and those union dues aren't going to fund Democrat campaigns.
All right, State Representative David Brock Smith out of time. We'll check again after we get through some of this legislative process. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.